And as we study tonight, we've been talking about the subject of premillennialism. And that's something that has confused so many people. Really, a lot of people have been confused by this. And you find in the religious world so many, many people who accept the fact that Jesus is coming back to earth. He's going to reign 1,000 years on a throne in Jerusalem. And there's going to be peace during that 1,000 years, and then tribulation, and all these other things. And they often talk about the rapture. There's no such thing in the Bible as the rapture, as it's taught. But we need to look at that. And I hope that maybe even at some time, those who need this might be able to hear a copy of this. The question comes up, will Christ reign on earth for 1,000 years? We don't believe that. I don't believe that because the Bible does not teach that. And we have to be very careful to weed out the things. People will go to the book of Revelation especially, and they will take the figurative and make it literal. They take the literal and make it figurative. And it confuses so many people about the return of Christ on earth. I may confuse you with this chart, but this is the chart that premillennial people use, at least some of them, to describe what they believe. They believe that at the end of the church age, the righteous dead are raised, and then the rapture takes place, where people who are driving a car will suddenly won't be there anymore. They're caught up in a rapture. Then following that, there's going to be a tribulation for 7 years. And these are things that the book of Revelation teaches in a way, but not the way they use it. And the reign of the Antichrist is taking place with regard to on earth and the tribulation that has there. And then then along that timeline, you have what they call the revelation of Christ again, and the battle of Armageddon when Christ comes back. And they say this is going to take place at Megiddo. In the Bible, it talks about Megiddo, or the mountain of Megiddo. And Satan is bound during that 1,000-year reign, and there's peace on the earth because Christ is in Jerusalem, sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. And then after that, Satan is loosed for a period of time, and then you have the judgment take place. And that is so warped, it really confuses people to recognize what's being said. So I put that there just to let you know, if you ever talk to Jehovah's Witnesses or some of the premillennialists in the church or the Baptist premillennialists, you'll be hearing these kinds of statements, and they're taken out of context in the book of Revelation. And so when they talk about the rapture, you've got 7 years of tribulation and the second coming, and the righteous are raised. That's all taking place. And then they talk about the first resurrection, which is the judgment of saints, the battle of Armageddon. The kingdom is established. And their belief is the kingdom has not yet been established. And it's only going to be established when Jesus comes back. And the temple is going to be rebuilt. And the Jews will return to Palestine. And then all of the Jews will accept the gospel. They've rejected it in the past, but now they have a second chance to accept this. And we understand from the book of Hebrews how vain it is for people to talk about the temple being rebuilt. First of all, we don't know who the high priest would be. In 70 AD, when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, all of the records of ancestry were in the temple. At that time, you could go into the temple and find your ancestry all the way back to Abraham, and consequently all the way back to Adam and Eve. But that was destroyed, and no one knows who the priestly tribe is today. And that would be a problem. Plus, you'd have to go back to animal sacrifices rather than the sacrifice of Christ. And the Bible tells us he'll be sacrificed just one time. He's not going to have other sacrifices. Then the 1,000-year reign of Christ in Jerusalem and the second resurrection, the wicked are raised. And most of them believe that the wicked are going to be destroyed, that there's no such thing as an eternal hell. And so all these things are very confusing to people who have never read their Bible at all, because it has names that you might be familiar with. But premillennialism is a doctrine that has been taught, and many of the commentaries that are written have premillennial scholars. They call themselves scholars, and they have that. So Basically, the big thing that we can easily see is when they say the kingdom has not yet been established. When Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, that's one of the things they'd like to tell you, that the kingdom has not come yet. And that's when I pull out Mark 9:1. And all of you should remember that, because Mark 9:1, Jesus said that some of those who heard him speak were not going to taste of death till they saw the kingdom come with power. That happened in Acts 2. So Mark 9:1 refers to Acts 2, and the kingdom was established in Acts chapter 2. So that could be easily thrown down. And they want a kingdom like David and Solomon, a material kingdom. Down in Big Sandy, and most of you don't know where Big Sandy is, but it's not far from Gladewater, and you don't know where Gladewater is either. But it's in the vicinity of Tyler in East Texas, and they had a college campus down there, and the Armstrong family ran that campus, and they were saying they had a herd of cattle, they raised vegetables. They had all kinds of things that were going to be prepared so when Jesus came back to have his kingdom, he's going to have a farm that he could use to eat off of and things of that nature. And of course it fell apart because they didn't know what they were doing. But then they believe that Christ will come back and reign on a literal throne in Jerusalem. When you read prophecies like Daniel, and you read about the magnificent throne in heaven, why would anybody want to leave a throne in heaven and come back to a little bitty throne in Israel, in Jerusalem? And they have even said, some of them, the Armstrong family, said that the throne of Jerusalem was the throne of England, and that they have found the 10 lost tribes. Now, the 10 tribes are not lost. That's another whole subject. But they found the 10 lost tribes, and it's the English-speaking people. So when Jesus comes back, he's going to take the English throne and move it to Jerusalem and reign on that throne in Jerusalem. That's the material kingdom they're looking for. And then the 1,000-year reign on earth, where we have bliss. I hope one day to understand bliss. I don't at this point. But then the Jews return to Palestine, and all these things place. So we just simply deny that those things are true, and we can prove them from the Bible. It's not in the Bible, and as you look at this, we recognize clearly that it's anti-Bible, in fact. And so we have to learn then, have to believe and teach only what the Bible teaches. And that's our strong suit. That's what we believe in. And 1 Peter 4:11, if a man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Then always check what we're taught by the Bible. The Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So that's what we do when we hear people talk about the kingdom on earth. But it's not in the Bible. The kingdom has been established. And when we look at this, we recognize exactly what the Bible is teaching. Going back to Daniel 2, and I've mentioned a number of times the three scriptures that you need to know in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 says that the kingdom is going to be established at Jerusalem. Then Daniel says it's going to be established in the days of the Roman kings, and the golden image, or the large image that Daniel saw, the head was gold of Babylon. The silver was the Medo-Persian kingdom that followed that one. History will prove this. And then the brass would be Alexander the Great, the Grecian kingdom. And iron and clay would be the Roman kingdom. And in the days of these Roman kings, the church would be established. And so you have, when Jesus was born, that Rome was in control. And then in Joel 2, it speaks about the fact that when the kingdom comes, it's coming with power of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what the Bible reveals about that. So in some time, some in the time of Christ would live to see the kingdom. That's Mark 9:1. It's tremendously important to use that scripture, and it destroys the idea that the kingdom has not yet come. And some of those in Paul's day, Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, Paul said, "You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love," Colossians 1:13. John also said in the Revelation chapter 1 that he was in the kingdom. So when people would just read the Bible and understand what is being taught, they wouldn't go off in the wild fantasies of premillennialism. When I was up in Maine one time, Brother Ralph Smart was alive at that time, and I went up to knock doors for about 10 days while we tried to convert people. And they had a church building in that area, in that town, Portland, Maine. And we looked up the deed on it because it was not being used, and we found out that a man and his wife, two men and two women, they men were married sisters. They were very old. Those were the last remaining members of the church, and they were having to meet in their home because they were too feeble to get out. We asked them if we could use the building to have a gospel meeting, and they said no, because you're amillennial. So what they did, they had a really nice building. They gave it to the Baptist Church because they were millennial, a premillennial. And that's how much it's invaded the church in some areas. And it really caused a lot of trouble 100 years ago. But when you look at the church and the kingdom, I've often taught that the church and the kingdom are the same people. And you have these scriptures that speak of that with Christ as the head. And the subjects are the Christians, Acts 2:39. The territory is the human heart, the world, in fact. The terms of entrance, the new birth in John chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians 12, by one spirit, we're always baptized into one body. And then we're under the law of Christ. In Matthew 4:23, Jesus came teaching the things concerning the kingdom of Christ. And then, of course, the memorial of the Lord's Supper that was instituted. So Jesus said of the Lord's Supper, I'll not eat of this again with you until I eat it anew with you in the kingdom. And he placed the Lord's Supper in the church because that is the kingdom. So when we take the Lord's Supper in the church, we recognize that the kingdom is the church, and we're taking the Lord's Supper where Jesus said it would be, in the kingdom. And these are just scriptures that are abundant to understand that the kingdom is already here. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. I also say to you, or Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now that verse 19 is often misunderstood. It's not that the apostles were going to bind it on earth first, and then it'd be bound in heaven. What that verse is saying, what you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven already. They were given the authority to bind on earth what had been bound in heaven. And that's the way to properly understand that. But notice the connection. He's going to build his church, but the church, Peter would have the keys of the kingdom. So there again, this scripture after scripture that shows the kingdom and the church are the same things. And so Christ is on David's throne. Now there's a lot of misconstruction on David's throne. Some want to make it the literal throne of David. But the throne of David in the scripture is referred to as a throne of God. It was symbolic. David's throne was a throne of righteousness, which was an antitype of the throne in heaven. And the throne of God is what's under consideration. And David was sitting on the throne in Acts chapter 2. And you see this, first of all, from Daniel chapter 7, Christ is going to receive the kingdom when he ascends to the Ancient of Days. In Zechariah chapter 6, that Jesus is going to be both a king and a priest on the throne. I said a moment ago, David was on the throne. Jesus is on the throne of David. We'll make that clear. Jesus is on the throne of David because it's the throne of God. And on earth, only the tribe of Levi, the descendants of Aaron, could be a high priest. So if Jesus came back to earth, he couldn't be a high priest anymore. That alone should make us understand that it's not practical to say that Jesus is going to come back to this earth. On earth, only the descendants of Levi and Aaron could be the priest, and descendants of Aaron would be the high priest. So that's not going to take place on earth. And on Hebrews chapter 8, verse 4, only the tribe of Levi and Aaron could be priests. And in Psalms 89, the throne of David is called the throne in heaven. So that's where Jesus is today. The idea he'd come back to a physical throne in Jerusalem is ludicrous. Why give up the throne in heaven for that? And so he's on the throne now. Christ rules now. He has all authority now. And Acts chapter 2 shows him in verse 30 through 36 sitting at the right hand of God on that throne. And Hebrews chapter 4 and chapter 8 are good chapters to read to compare the law of Moses and the priesthood with Jesus Christ and his priesthood. So you understand that the kingdom is here. Christ is on the throne. And we wouldn't remove him from that under any consideration to come back to earth again. So when Christ comes back, Acts chapter 1 refers to the fact that he was received into the clouds. And the apostles were told by the angels that when he comes back, you'll see him as he was then. And we're told in the Thessalonian letter that we'll be caught up to meet with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's never going to set foot on earth again. Peter tells us clearly the earth is going to be destroyed when he comes back again in fire, and the reign of Christ will end when he comes back at the end of time. So when he comes, he ends his reign. He doesn't begin it. You see, the premillennial theory is when he comes back to earth and alights on the earth, his kingdom will start in his reign. But the Bible says when he comes back, his reign will end, not begin. And that's very important. And so at 1 Corinthians 15 that discusses the end of time and the resurrection says that at his coming then cometh the end, not the beginning of his reign. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we remember, beginning in verse 9, that the earth is going to be consumed with fervent heat. It's not going to last after Jesus comes back the second time and we go to meet him in the air. The earth is going to be destroyed and it'll no longer remain at all. And we don't know when Jesus is coming back. There's a passage that's really important. We're going to look more in just a moment in Matthew chapter 24. But these passages all state the fact that Jesus did not tell us when he's coming back. And he said only the Father knows. Now in Acts 17, the Apostle Paul said that he's appointed a day in which he will come again. So if I understand that correctly, the day has already been set and we're moving toward that day. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's when the Lord decides to do that. So Matthew 24 is often misunderstood. And the rest of the lesson, I'd like to talk about Matthew 24 and what it really says. And so the questions that came to Jesus as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be?" And he had been talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. But they asked two questions. When will these things be, and what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So there are two questions there. And they were asking about when the destruction of Jerusalem would be, and then what is the sign of your second coming? So Matthew 24 is a pivotal chapter with regard to premillennialism, that we understand exactly what they were asking and what Jesus said. So Matthew 24, 34 through 36, Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." Now these things had reference to the destruction of Jerusalem. When is this going to happen? And he said in verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Then in verse 36, "But of that day," here's a contrast. Here's one day, and then there's another day. And that's answering the second question. "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So we need to understand, this generation will no means pass away, refers to the destruction of Jerusalem. Then, when he talks about these things, and then heaven and earth is going to pass away, which is the end of things, as they were asking that question as well. But then, "But of that day," that is, the end of the world, nobody knows. And if you notice in Matthew 24, there were signs of the second, at the coming of the destruction of Jerusalem. There were signs that were there. We'll look at that in just a moment. But there are 2 days. Heaven and earth will pass away on that day. That's the end of the world. And there's a transition point between verse 34 and verse 35. Verse 34 ends the questions about the destruction of Jerusalem. And then of that day, no one knows. And so you have the signs of the destruction of Jerusalem. The judgment at Jerusalem is going to have signs. Have to flee. When you see, go back to Daniel again, when you see the abomination of desolation stand where he ought not. That's the Roman army coming against Jerusalem. And the disciples of Jesus were taught, when you see that, leave the city because it's about to be destroyed. It's not going to be a personal coming of Christ. He's coming in judgment, but he's not coming back at that time. And that's the judgment on earth for Jerusalem. And they said, pray that it's not on the Sabbath because the gates would be closed. Pray that women are not pregnant because it'd be difficult to flee if you're having a child or about to have a child. And there were signs of the destruction of Jerusalem. But there are no signs of the end of the world. And so they totally messed up this whole schedule, this whole procedure. There are not going to be any signs. People today try to set a date when Jesus is coming back. The Jehovah's Witnesses set the date in 1914. I don't think anybody here was alive in 1914, were you? So they said that Jesus was coming back. It was the end of the world in 1914. Well, 1914 came and went, and they had to make an adjustment. So they said, well, he came in the spirit. He came invisibly. But they still say he didn't establish the kingdom, so what did he come for? And the point of the matter is that when Jesus comes back, you can't flee. You can't escape. This is the judgment of all people. It is the personal coming of Christ, not like the one in Jerusalem. And then we have judgment in heaven. And this is the way the Bible really teaches. So when you hear somebody talking about Matthew 24, remember where the transition is between 34 and 35. Previous to verse 34, it's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. After verse 35, it's talking about the destruction of the world. And that helps us understand that so much better. And so when Christ comes, his reign is going to end. We don't know when he's going to come back, but there's no promise to the Jews, are we going to return to Palestine or Palestine? That's over. That's done with. They're no longer in God's favor because they have rejected the Christ, and they had to receive the judgment on Jerusalem because they had rejected their Messiah. So that's some of the studies that you look at when we get into premillennial theory, and we have to understand that it's a confusion around the world, and we need to be sure about what the Bible actually